Chapter 8. The automatic press was delivered and set up by a technician 4 days later. After running a few test runs on it over the course of 18 hours, Brian, Jake, and Miles had it in operating order. Jake enjoyed the entire process because Brian was behaving like a child at Christmas. He kept going on and on about how the auto press was going to help them knock out huge jobs in no time. Jake was fully expecting Brian to pull out a bottle of champagne when they had it working right. What had surprised Jake most of all, though, was that it was a huge machine. They had to knock a wall out of the print room to make room for it. A carpenter team came in to build another wall while Jake, Brian, and Miles were running test prints. Jake told the reps at the pharmaceutical company the order would take 2 weeks to complete, and they seemed fine with that schedule. Clara placed the orders for the shirts, an order so large that it came in two shipments, as the press was being assembled, and then, as if a sign from the universe itself, the shirts arrived on the same day Brian made the final adjustments to the press. Every fine print employee was on hand during the initial run of the automatic press. Brian operated the controls while Jake loaded and unloaded the shirts. Miles helped distribute the ink and made sure the screen stayed clean. Al and Clara kept count and boxed up shirts. Even the high school screen cleaner, a buff kid called Dylan, going for a baseball scholarship, was on hand doing random chores throughout. They knocked the job out in just under 12 hours. They only had a dozen or so misprints, which, according to Brian, was exceptionally good. The following day, Jake was able to call the customer and let them know that they would be shipping out their order almost a full week early. The customer was very pleased and indicated they were impressed with fine print service, and if the shirts reflected the service, they would certainly send more business their way. They all went out for drinks afterwards. Dylan sipped on Coke, moping because he wasn't old enough to drink. Still, he shared in the joy of the moment. He knew he had a pretty sweet job as far as part-time gigs went. Also, Clara was very easy on the eyes. 2 weeks passed. They took on a few smaller orders, which allowed them downtime to perfect their processes in the graphics department and on the print floor. Jake had gotten good enough on the manual press to run smaller one- and two-color jobs by himself. This allowed Brian to organize ink, shirts, and run inventory on supplies they needed. This, in turn, freed Claire up to do more social media work and mobile marketing. She started using QR codes on flyers and direct mail campaigns. She even put together a radio interview that was due to go live right in the middle of summer. Exactly 2 weeks after they sent the shirts out to the pharmaceutical company, they received a call from the customer. It was a short conversation and one that had Jake smiling the entire time he was on the phone. They were ecstatic with the shirts. They placed another order, this one much smaller, just 30 shirts for an entirely different cause, and let Jake know that they had passed fine print information onto their sister company and several partners. "Do you know what this means?" Jake asked Brian and Claire once he was off the phone. Brian looked at all of the invoices that he and Clara had been looking through when Jake took the call. The pile was getting taller and taller, and Clara had to put a little more time into implementing all the information into her spreadsheets. They had 21 orders to be completed, with an average of 6 coming in each day, and even though most of the orders had been smaller of late, this was still a substantial number of orders.
"I think it means we need to start thinking about hiring more people," Brian said with a grin.
The summer went by smoothly. With the college out for the summer, a nice chunk of their regular business slowed down. Still, they were beginning to get fairly well known online. Clara had social marketing down to a science, and it was paying off well. Fine print was doing so well that they were approached by the local newspaper for a business spotlight interview. Jake and Brian were both skittish about the idea, but Clara basically told them that they would be fools to turn it down. So they had their moment of fame in the local paper. Clara even got a very small feature on the local news about the power of mobile marketing. As usual, she looked gorgeous in the interview, and fine print saw an influx of male visitors in the week following the segment. They had to hire one more printer and were talking about purchasing one more manual press. After making monthly bills and paying out their employees, Jake and Brian were bringing in slightly more than $7,200 a month. In two separate months, this number had been as high as $11,000. While it wasn't a fortune by any means, it was allowing them to knock out the debt that they had accumulated by starting fine print. If business continued to go the way it has for these first 5 months, Jake and Clara estimated that fine print would be debt-free within another 10 months or so. By the start of September, the college crowd came back and a few significant orders started to trickle in. But in comparison to the work they were bringing in online, the college jobs were just a blip on the radar. The pharmaceutical company stuck by their promises. They placed another large order not long after people they had referred to Fine Print made similar orders. The entire scenario became even more surreal on a typical Tuesday morning. Brian and Miles were in the print room, Al and Jake were in the graphics room, and Claire was sitting at the counter at the storefront, working her social media magic. An older man, wearing a polo shirt and a pair of khaki pants, walked in the front door. He had a small briefcase and walked with an air of someone who thought highly of himself. "Good morning, sweetheart," he said to Claire as he came strolling in. He approached the counter like it was the bar in some long-ago saloon and threw his elbow up on it. "Are the owners of this fine establishment here today?" "They are," Clara said, slightly miffed that this stranger called her sweetheart. "Do you have an appointment?"
"No, but I think they may still want to speak with me."
"Okay, I'll get them for you. And what is your name?" The man rolled his eyes as if he were flustered that Clara didn't know him.
"It's Declan Hughes, sweetheart."
With her own eye roll, Clara turned away from the counter and headed to the back where she summoned Brian and Jake.
"Some dude is here to see you. He's been calling me sweetheart. It's annoying.
Declan Hughes. You know him?" Brian shook his head, but Jake thought for a moment. A look of realization came across his face, and he then frowned.
"Yeah, I know the name. I don't know him personally, but he's supposed to be this big-shot investor type. He co-owns the golf course on the outskirts of town and also purchased that weird little techno club that all the college kids go to."
"So what's he doing here?" Clara asked.
Jake shrugged. "A techno club?" Brian asked as they walked toward the storefront. "People still listen to that crap."
They walked to the front and made their introductions. Declan Hughes seemed to size them up right away, trying to figure out what sort of businessman he was dealing with. Jake noticed this and was instantly uncomfortable. He felt like he was being studied for some kind of weird experiment.
"So what can we do for you?" Jake asked.
"Well, like most people in this town, I've been hearing a lot about the surprise rapid success of Fine Print. As a businessman, your ability to turn a profit so quickly and get your name out there fascinates me."
"Yeah, we've been lucky," Brian said.
"Well, if I have my way," Declan said, "you're about to get a whole lot luckier."
"How so?" Brian asked.
"I've made my living for the last 10 years or so by investing in successful businesses and making them even more successful. However, after seeing what you boys have been able to accomplish, I think more than investment is in order. I would like to buy Fine Print from you."
Brian and Jake both looked as if someone told them the sky was red. Clara, meanwhile, was smiling from ear to ear.
"I'm sorry," Jake said, "but I think I speak for both of us when I say that we've put too much effort to work into this to just sell it."
"Totally understandable," Declan said. "I would, however, at least like you to think it over. Here's what I'm offering."
He gave Brian and Jake a moment to interrupt him before he could start on his offer and, getting no objections, went on.
"I would like to purchase the company. This would mean the building, the supplies, everything. Once it is in my name, I will take over all bills and payments. All profits made would be mine, yet I would love to keep the two of you, plus any other staff you choose, on the Fine Print payroll."
"So it would be your company," Jake said, "and we'd just be employees."
"Well, not just employees. You'd have a managerial position, and you'd have very competitive salaries for the industry. I've done my homework and know what a screen printer and graphic designer make."
Jake had basically already decided that he wasn't interested in this bargain, but his curiosity got the better of him. He just couldn't help it.
"Let's say we're in agreement to this," Jake said.
"What sort of offer are you preparing to make?" "For the business, I'm prepared to give you $350,000. I would cut you the check right away, and you can split it up among yourselves however you like. I'd have my lawyer draft up a fair and balanced contract. In terms of salaries, I'd pay you both $50,000 a year, assuming the shop stays as prosperous as it is now. And I would be very flexible with schedules, time off, benefits, and things of that nature."
The silence in the storefront was thick. Brian in particular looked stunned. Declan took advantage of the power of the moment and deftly slid his business card onto the countertop.
"Take some time to think it over," Declan said. "I'm a patient man. Call me with any questions or, of course, when you've come to a decision."
"We certainly will," Jake said in a shaky voice.
He reached out and took the business card in a manner that made it look like he was reaching for a snake.
"Gentlemen," Declan said, and then looked to Clara. "Sweetheart, thank you for your time. I look forward to hearing from you."
With that, Declan Hughes left Fine Print, leaving three stunned employees behind him.